everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and I got my co-host posse here, Brett and Kyle. And today we are going to be kicking off our new series, Created and Called. And Pastor Barry did an intro sermon this week on God's design for gender. And so we're going to be kicking off with a little bit of conversation about that today.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I'm a little nervous, actually. That was hard. It's a hard topic. And Pastor Barry did a great job. So if you haven't listened to that message, go to our website or YouTube channel. But he did a really good job. So I feel like, you know, today we're just going to kind of comment on some of the stuff he brought up and maybe go a little bit different direction. But I'm excited, but I'm a little nervous. How about you, Brett?
I agree with you. Definitely starting off this series with a bang for sure. And to be completely honest, it's definitely a topic that I think most people probably don't enjoy engaging with, especially with just where society and culture is today and the place of religion or your beliefs. And so I think it's good, though, that, first, Pastor Barry with his message, but two, just as a church and as a family, it should be a place where you're able to discuss and engage in tough things and have a place that's safe to do that instead of, you know, other places where you can get canceled.
Yeah.
Kyle, you don't want to get canceled.
Well, that's a good point. Otherwise, you just can avoid things, right? And you're just like, well, I just don't want to deal with it. And, you know, I know I've done that in my life on different topics, and that's not a good place to be because eventually it finds its way out, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that Pastor Barry had pointed out in his sermon is that we are in a spiritual war. Mm. And I think that's one of the temptations that the enemy gives to people is to just not say anything about it, just to stay comfortable. But then that allows him to keep pushing forward with his agenda and what he wants to do. So I think that's where we're in a time right now where we're trying to find the balance between how do we respond to some of these things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're going to be discussing a lot today is what is our response in controversial issues like gender? And that's something that's one of the big issues of today in today's world.
For sure.
And so one of the things that I felt like it was really appropriate that we get this series started off with, and anytime we want to talk about controversial issues, and actually it's kind of cool because Brett uses it a lot in a lot of his teachings, whether it's any type of decision or choices that we make is the framework of messy grace.
And yes, so messy grace.
If you haven't gone through the messy grace curriculum, messy grace is a curriculum that was come up by, what was his name? Caleb Kaltenbach.
There you go.
I almost had a brain fart. Caleb Kaltenbach, and he is an author and a pastor, and he developed this curriculum on how to interact with the LGBT community specifically. But as we've gone through it, it feels really like this is applicable to any time there's a controversial issue.
Right.
And so really the focus of that is when Jesus on the cross is holding on and his hands are stretched out, he's really holding on to truth and grace, and he's holding tightly and firmly to both. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's only holding on to truth and not grace, and he's not only holding on to grace but not truth, but he's holding firmly to both. And the verse that comes from is John 1:14, and it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Right? And so Jesus, in relating to the world, is full of grace and truth. And so that's how we, being believers, want to interact with the world too, especially in controversial issues. We want to be full of truth, but also full of grace. And that's one thing that the enemy has tried to paint Christians in a certain light where they're just full of truth but no grace and so are unrelatable to people. But that's not really a good picture of who Jesus is because Jesus was full of both truth and full of grace.
Yeah, I think the thing that I love about that picture so much, and especially when it comes to tough conversations or topics, is, you know, the word love gets tossed around a lot, right? And when you're dealing with someone, it's like, well, you need to love them. Right. And loving them isn't just one side or the other. Right. The perfect example of love is exactly what you illustrated, is Jesus dying on the cross. And so it's this tension, this spectrum where there is both truth and grace. And that's really, I think, a reflection of God's heart and his love for us, is that there is truth in it and there is grace in it. And so if we can exemplify that, and if we want to love others, especially when it's a tough topic or something like that, then we need to have both of those things in there.
Yeah, I agree.
And I really think that kind of what Brett is alluding to is, and that's what Caleb talks about, is that love is found in the tension between mm-hmm. truth and mm-hmm. grace. Because if we're all full of truth but no grace, then the people that we're trying to show love to will feel shunned or turned away. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if we're full of grace but not truth, then we're going to allow people to continue to be out of alignment with God. Mm-hmm. And that's not loving either, because then they're just going to continue to push themselves farther away from God anyway.
Right.
And so really what we want to do is we want to point people back to God. And in order to do that, we need to be full of truth and full of grace.
The last thing I'll say about it, because I could go on and on about messy grace, if you know me, it was life-changing for me. But I think the other thing that was huge for me was like feeling like God highlighting that it's okay to be in the tension. Mm. Right. Oftentimes we don't want to be in the tension because, yeah, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Like you said, Kyle, today's you're a little bit nervous. You're a little excited. There's some tension there, mm-hmm. but it's okay to be in that tension. And sometimes that's where God wants us to mm-hmm. be in that tension, because we're supposed to be representations of him and stand in that mm-hmm. place sometimes for others who don't know him. And so, it was totally permission for me to stand in that tension. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciated just that framework, and I guess we'll see how it goes with the conversation today.
So as we kick off this series, Created and Called, one of the things that we wanted to do is actually go back to the beginning. What were we created for? How did God create? And so one of the themes that we wanted to kind of introduce is that in creation, God has a created order, right? And so if we look at the creation story, it starts out with the earth was formless and void, and on each day, God brought more and more order to his creation. And I think if you look in the Hebrew, the words formless and void is tohu vavohu or something like that, and it just means it's kind of chaotic, right? And so God takes this chaotic thing and creates order, and that's what we see in creation. And so there is a created order, and what God's created order is for, there's a purpose, and the purpose is fruitful life for people. And that's why the culmination of his creation is people. So all of these things that he was creating was for the fruitfulness and the blessing of the people. And that's part of who God is. And so when we think of God's created order, we want to think of that and what it was like pre-sin, before Adam and Eve sinned.
Right. So, you know, kind of just tying in with that, with our topic today is Genesis 1:27. And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So that's kind of right at the beginning. It's already talking about, you know, the genders that God created. And that's where we kind of kick off this discussion. So there's that. And then, you know, in the New Testament, it's Matthew 19:4. Jesus answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female. So let's jump into that topic.
So kind of if we go back to with this idea that God's created order is for the fruitfulness and life of the people, right? And so if we look at gender and male and female, the purpose behind this is for the fruitfulness of his people, mm-hmm. right? And so there is a purpose to God creating a male and a female, and that's for flourishing, right? Originally, God, when he created Adam, he said, there's something that's not good. Like, that was the only thing that was not good, was that he was alone, right? And so there is a purpose to male and female for flourishing.
I think in this topic, I think one area that gets kind of confusing is, like, the roles or the boxes we've put male and female. Mm. So there's two genders that God created, but in society, we said men are like this and women are like this. And then if you don't fit that, then that kind of leads to, well, what am I then? Am I something different? And that kind of opens up that box of, okay, then I want to fit somewhere else. And there could be different reasons for you wanting to be outside of the box. But I think our society also pushes people outside because of those kind of stereotypes. So What do you guys think about that? And how does that, how do we handle that in light of what's truth in the Bible?
That's tough. I think it's difficult because by putting the so-called box or restraints to what each gender is, so to say, I think that in itself makes people already question or want to seek outside of that box. Mm-hmm. But I think it's from there how much you relate the seeking or the not feeling like you are a part of that box relates to directly to your gender. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, growing up, I was very sensitive. Mm-hmm. And so emotionally, I had to learn how to deal with my emotions. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not like my dad told me, oh, you can't cry because mm-hmm. boys don't cry or men don't cry. But there is that level mm-hmm. of, all right, you gotta toughen up. You right. gotta be tough. And, you know, I think that's generally seen as a male quality. And when you're raising men or boys to be strong and tough and hide your emotions. And so, you know, I can only imagine that for me, I didn't necessarily think, well, I'm sensitive, so that means I'm a girl or I feel like a girl. But it was more of me looking outside of that box and saying like, well, can a man or a boy be sensitive? Mm. Right. And so I think oftentimes what happens is that correlation may be seen kind of skewed. Mm. And so it's because I don't fit in box A, that must mean something else. Mm. Where I think we all know it's not that simple, mm-hmm. where it's just like, right. okay, if I'm not A, then I'm B. It's like, well, maybe that lens or that box isn't exactly true mm-hmm. either. So it, right. what you're judging it off of is already distorting how you view it, right. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes because of that search for identity, you know, there's been a surplus of new genders that have been created in society, right? Mm-hmm. So we did some research on this a little bit this morning. We looked, I mean, it was really quick research. We just Googled it, but we Googled, you know, how many genders are there? And we came across a lot of different websites that said there's 70 plus genders or 80 plus genders. And there's all of these different genders. And it's because people are trying to figure out, well, if I don't fit inside this box, then mm-hmm. there must be something to describe who I am. And so there's all kinds of things that we came across, like female assigned at birth, a male who was born a man but had a female spirit inhabit him and has spiritual powers. There was a bunch of different ones that we came across, but I think part of it is just we are in the search for identity, right? And that's one of the things that we've been talking about as a church a lot is who are we? What is our identity? And because that has been ingrained in people, they want to know who they are. Now they're trying to create boxes to fit who they are. And we live in a society where that's okay, right? That's okay to create a box just to say, this is who I am. And it's kind of the relativistic type thing that we've been talking about a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that actually plays into something that Pastor Barry mentioned in his message too. Like, it's really the relativism is just taking over our culture, right? We've talked about that in our biblical worldview classes. That's really what people want to stand behind is, well, what's good for me is good for me. What's good for you is good for you. You can't argue against mine because that's what I believe is good for me, right? But from a biblical perspective, we don't get that option to just say, I can believe what I want for myself. It's like, does it align with the Bible? And so then we get into trouble that way. And then what Pastor Barry brought up was how even on this gender issue, it's gotten to the point where they're separating your sex, so like what your sex at birth to your gender. So they've created like gender is different than sex, like what your sex is. So it's no longer male, female as being that's what your gender is. That's what your sex at birth was, but gender is what you feel about yourself. And that's that they've created a whole nother, really more of a subjective measurement. And so, good.
Yeah, it's just a totally different paradigm to look mm-hmm. at things through. It's disconnecting your biological body parts and chromosomes and things like that and your feelings and how you feel about yourself. And I think this is the first time that that's ever been really disconnected in a tangible way. And that those are some of the language that we're using for gender nowadays.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because, like, I know, Brett, you brought up earlier about how that, like, science thing, there's like that disconnect with science then too, because science is supposed to be logical and it's supposed to follow facts, but then there's another aspect that's disconnected from that. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I was just sharing how society makes it so difficult to almost even, I don't want to say have a stance, but to have some sort of grounding or something to base it off of, or just some sort of like guidance or foundation to even be able to create your own belief or what you think, because it's like in some forums, science is fact and you should trust science and the research and all, you know, these things that these smart doctors or whoever comes up with and has all these things. And then now with gender, it's like, well, okay, the science says maybe, you know, you are male or female, but because gender is based off of like what you feel like you relate to, or it's like, okay, so then do you discredit the science then, right? I think the reason why I brought that up was just like the world makes it so confusing to even try to understand, because it's like you think you have an understanding, but then because whether people feel like offended or it's not fair to them or whatever the reason might be, they have to create something new to counteract the thing you were supposed to believe or that you were taught so that they feel okay. And then it's like, okay, so then what are you telling me I'm supposed to believe, right? And it could just be so difficult to even wrap your head around and intimidating to even think about or engage with. And right. So I think the other thing that brings up for me, even as you guys were sharing, was two things that were kind of highlighted was there's so many people out there that just want to belong, right? There's just this deep desire in our identity to belong to something, right? Whether it's a group of people or it's to relate to others. And even in Messy Grace, right? Like a big thing is like the focus is they need to feel like they can belong before they could believe. And it's actually really disheartening to know some of the reasons. And I think Pastor Barry even shared some of the reasons why people disassociate themselves from their biological sex, right? Feeling trapped or these other things. It's on paper, it's just like, you know, that you could easily downplay that. You know, that's not a good reason, or like, why would you think that? Or, but to try to take a step back and actually think about someone who maybe dislikes themselves so much or feels so uncomfortable or not wanted or so lost into our identity that they feel trapped in their own body, it does give me a grace to see why people go to extreme lengths to try to fit in or feel comfortable or be okay with themselves. And it's just unfortunate that 99% of those ways don't align with where they can really experience love and freedom, and that's with God. And so the world does no help in actually, I think, helping us be able to navigate that. And it actually is almost more like, to me, like a Band-Aid. Like it just gives you an initial solution, or, okay, I can now, you know, claim that I'm this, but it's like it doesn't really solve the actual issue for anybody. And that's why I think it's just so much more confusing and difficult to navigate through.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is coming out now. You know, this is a relatively newer thing that's going on, right? Transgenderism and people actually having surgeries and hormones and things like that to transition from one gender to another. But we are starting to hear stories of people who regretted making some of those decisions to either castrate themselves or remove breasts or things like that to transition to the other gender. There's a lot of stories that are coming out where people are saying that didn't solve my problems. I thought this was going to solve my problems and it didn't. And I regret making this life altering change to my body that I can't go back on because it didn't solve the problems that I thought it was going to solve. And so I think that's one area where, this confusion and things like that, hoping in something that may not produce the results that you're expecting. You know, they want to find that fulfillment, find that, and you're not necessarily guaranteed that. And so that's something to consider too.
Yeah, I just got reminded of a podcast we listened to. I know Damon and I did, sent by Mimo, of course. But it was, I think it was all the same one. I might be conflating two different stories, but of a girl growing up kind of like a tomboy, and then her dad wanting more of a girly girl, and it was like, why can't you be more of a daddy's girl? Why can't? And so he always kind of downplayed the way she was, and so she kind of had a negative view of herself, like, am I really a girl? And then led her into, I don't know if she just viewed herself as, I don't know. I remember the story in detail, but she ended up getting into more of like a lesbian relationship. And I think it's the same one that then she had like a surgery to remove her breasts. And then she just like totally regretted it. But as soon as it happened, she looked down and was like, this isn't what I wanted to do. This doesn't fix what I have going on inside. And so listening to an actual story of that was like, oh my gosh, like all because somebody, like especially an important figure in her life, her dad, just didn't affirm that she was just a little bit like different. She didn't fit that box, right? And that just set her on a trajectory of just pain. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that we're seeing in our world a lot is just a lot of pain, right? And some of these things and controversial issues that we're going to be talking about is really just a response to people feeling hurt and pain. Mm. And for us as believers, we really want to point people to the source of healing, and that's Jesus and God, and having a relationship with God. And that's really what we can offer them, is a genuine opportunity to come into relationship with the only person that can really bring the healing that they need.
Yeah, in that situation too, this thinking of that woman, like that's, I don't want to make light of it either, but that's the easier way, is to, like, the society is giving us easier outs. Instead of having to confront her dad and like explain that she was hurt and actually have to wrestle with that hurt. And not saying that that's an easy thing and that even somebody that's young should even have to do that. But because we have so many easy outs now, it's like we can just get steered away from really what's the root cause or what's actually going on. And that actually then divides us from God and divides us from his plan. Like you were mentioning earlier, Damon, that God has a plan and a purpose, and we're living in a fallen world that tries to divert us from that. And yeah, it's just really disheartening.
Another thing I wanted to bring up before even coming into this episode, we're like, this could be like a 3-hour episode. We're going to try not to get it to be that long, but we have so many things that we wanted to talk about. But one of the things that I want to talk about that Pastor Barry kind of mentioned a little bit, but I wanted us to have a little bit of time to discuss was, you know, there are policies out there that are against what God wants, you know, whether it's government laws or just different policies that are, you know, standard operating procedures or different things like that, that are outside of God's created order. And then there's also people that are living outside of God's created order. And how we as believers respond to those things is different, right? So how we respond to policies should be different than how we respond to people. And so that's something that I wanted to talk about, because there are a lot of policies, especially because we live in California, that are going against God's created order. And so if you're not aware of some of those, I thought this could be a time where we could just introduce a couple of those and some of those things that are going on in our world that can be pushing some of these agendas that are against God's created order, especially in regards to gender and gender dysphoria. Kyle, do you want to kick that one off?
Sure.
You can't toss it to me because I'm not too aware of all of these policies.
I know,
so.
I'm like, which one am I going to? Well, I think one of the big ones that Pastor Barry highlighted was just giving adolescents, minors, the ability to make medical decisions, especially tied into like gender reassignment surgery, hormone blockers, things like that. There was actually I don't remember what state it was. I just read the other day that a teacher got fired. Oh, it actually was here. It was in Riverside County, I believe. A teacher got fired because they were not permitted to tell a parent if the parent's child had changed gender identity. And by California law, a teacher cannot share that. If they know and a student has said something in class, like they, oh, call me this or that, they aren't allowed to do that. And so the teacher was like, that's against my religious beliefs. And it's also making me have to lie to the parent. But because of California law, they got fired for that. So that's a kind of a little bit more separate. But I think the big one is just giving that authority and power for kids to make life-altering decisions at an age where they can't drink, someone can't drive, they can't vote, they can't do so many things because we don't give that to that age because they're not ready for it. They're not able to handle it. Yet we're able to give them full medical decisions and even disclosure and secrecy, all that kind of stuff, in the name of protecting them and for their best interests. And really, it's really shielding them from, you know, getting outside input to help them. So,
yeah, that one's scary for me, especially as my kids are getting a little bit older, and my kids are in public schools too. So just seeing that this is going to be out there, some of these laws that there are in California that are separating the parents and the kids mm-hmm. from, you know, being disclosure, mm-hmm. just disclosure. So, and it's purposeful to separate the parents and the kids, right? So it's purposely separating what the kids are doing in the school and not informing the parents about some of those decisions and some of those things, and how some of the, you know, whether it's counselors or other school officials can be telling them certain things in regards to medical decisions and guiding them in certain medical decisions and then not disclosing that to parents. That can be kind of scary to me. So what do you think is an appropriate way for us to respond to knowing that some of these things are already in place as believers? How do we respond to that?
Now, I think we do need to voice our concerns. We need to stand up and stand for biblical values. And that's not going to be easy, and it's going to go against the grain, so to speak, of society. I do think we have to, we can't, but we also can't just complain about it and either not vote or keep voting the same people in that are putting these laws in. So in California, especially, if we feel like the people in there aren't following biblical values, and I'm not saying it's Republican or Democrat, there's good and bad on both sides, but if we're putting the same people in all the time and they're going this direction, then we need to make our voices heard on election day. So I think that's one thing that we can do.
I was going to say, I don't have any kids of my own, but working in the youth ministry and having a lot of relationships with, you know, family, friends, and things of that nature, being open to have conversations about those things, because if it is, you know, minors and younger, I would want to be able to help equip or give kids language to understand and to be able to voice what they believe and to stand firm in that and not just be swayed. I know something Pastor Barry has kind of continued to receive or is highlighted to him is just how much we're supposed to not just fit in, right? We're not supposed to just conform, right? We're supposed to be not of this world, right? We're supposed to be standing out, and so some of that requires not agreeing sometimes and being able to say, I don't agree with that, or I don't believe that, and having kind of the opposing view to what maybe the way that society's going or what seems popular or what's mm-hmm. trending right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good, but I also want to, on top of that, add in, we want to be able to stand for what we believe, but we also want to be the type of people that are full of grace that people want to approach us too. And it's not mm-hmm. just they're unapproachable because they're just on their high horse or on the, you know, they're just standing sure. up there mm-hmm. and we can't interact with them, but mm-hmm. we want to be the type of people that are looked up at as, wow, they have a firm grounding in what they believe, but at the same time, they're so full of grace that we know that they're real and that they're legit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think we'll get into more of that in the second or in a little bit. But I think that that's one of the key aspects. We can't just be known for what we're standing against, right? Yeah. But I did want to segue because I know we're getting kind of long already, but I want to segue based on something Brett said about standing against and standing out, and we're in a spiritual battle. And I think that was the second part of Pastor Barry's message on this, and being able to stand for truth and know what truth is, you have to have the right framework of knowing what kind of battle we're in. And we're in a spiritual battle. There's a biblical worldview. That's what God wants us to live by. He wants us to live by the values and the things in the Bible. And then there's a non-biblical worldview. Satan's trying to get people to discredit, discount God's values. And really, I think I think it makes it easier to stand against when you have that mindset and you know that, okay, I don't like standing out, or I don't like standing against, but I know that this is a spiritual thing. Like I think it gives you a sense of something to stand against, or a place to stand on, like a foundation, rather than just feeling like, oh, I'm just doing this out of my flesh. But really, we're in a spiritual battle. So I thought we could just touch on that a little bit before we kind of go into the grace part.
So in conjunction with understanding that we're in a spiritual battle, one of the things that we've been talking about for this year and kind of moving forward is we want to try out a new segment. And the segment that we're calling it Behind Enemy Lines. And so with this segment, one of the things that we wanted to do was just take a different perspective and try to see if we can go behind enemy lines and see if we can kind of look into the strategies and the kind of look into the mind of what the enemy might be trying to do as he's waging war against us. And so we know what we want to do, but we want to see what are some things that the enemy could be doing. And so we are going to have our very own transition. So as you hear this transition in the future, you'll know what time it is. And here we go.
Ooh. I like that, man. That sounded good.
Yeah.
So welcome to our first segment on Behind Enemy Lines. And this one, we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the enemy's tactics in getting people to distrust God and distrust what God has said is true. And so what we wanted to look at is kind of going back to the beginning again and the fall of man, right? And so if we look at it, when God created, he told Adam and Eve that they can eat from any of the trees in the garden except for one, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when the serpent came and spoke to Eve, you know, he asked her a few questions and he convinced her that what God has said was either something that she could doubt or that she could not trust God, that God was holding out on her. God was preventing her from really experiencing all that she could want, right? Because it said that he said that it will make her wise if she eats it. Wanted her to trust her feelings, right? It says that she looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for food and pleasing to the eyes, right? So he's trying to get her to doubt what God's word said and to go with what her feelings were and really to make that choice from that place. And so he did that, she fell, and we're living today as under the consequences of that decision that she made that day. And so one of the things that we wanted to look at is how the enemy can either twist our words, God's word, to help us to get to this place where we're not trusting God and not trusting that God is out for our best, that he's holding out on us, and for us to trust our feelings over what God has said is true.
Yeah, I think for me, one thing I want to point out is in Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, it describes the serpent as being crafty. I think we have to remember that you know, we are in the spiritual battle, but the enemy is not stupid, right? He's not going to just like have a flashing light saying lie, untruth, sin. He's going to try to make things look and sound and feel good. And so I think if we don't recognize that, or when we forget that, I think we can get ourselves into either bad patterns of thought, of behavior, and it can affect our emotions. So I want the listeners to remember that, you know, just in this behind enemy lines segment, that whenever we're in these battles, that we're going against a formidable foe. You know, as Christians, we know that he's been defeated, and in the end, that we have victory in Christ. But that doesn't mean the battle is going to be easy. He's going to find ways to try to sideline as many of us as possible for as long as possible and as deep as possible.
That example, I think, is so powerful, and even it relating to us, right? The serpent asking, well, what did God say, right? And if I put myself, maybe not in Eve's shoes, but to relate that is like, okay, well, do I know God's word? Okay. And then she says it back, and then he still tries to make her question or doubt. And then, yeah, she takes a look at the fruit and sees that it was pleasing. And so it's like, for me, okay, I can know God's word, but then if I'm not applying it to my circumstance, right, that's another way that the enemy tries to attack. Okay, maybe you do know God's word, but have you thought about this? Or what if it doesn't apply? Or how does that respond to your emotions? And then the last part of it too is, okay, now you have a choice, right? You may know God's word. You may be able to discern and say, okay, well, if I know God's word, this is what it would look like to play it out. Mm-hmm. But then now you actually have to make the choice to do it, right? And I think in that story that most of us all know about the fall of man, I think that the enemy, like you said, Damon, uses just those three areas really easily to try to deceive us or make us even have the smallest bit of doubt so that our action doesn't align with what God would want us to do or follow. And so I think in those three areas, it's made me realize, like, okay, one, do I know God's word? Because if I know that, then it at least gives me a direction to go in, right? And then two, I might get tempted, or am I able to play out, live that out, that action? And then three is like, okay, now I have to make the choice to do it, even if it's difficult. And I know that the enemy has, like you said, is crafty. And so in any of those three areas, I think it can be tempting or hard to discern what's right. But that's why we need to be equipped with God's word and to have community and all of those things so that we can combat those even tricky ways that we're being tested in.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so important that God has given us his word, so that we have something to have a foundation to build off of. And I think that's why, the enemy has tried to make it so hard for us to read God's word, so that because he knows that if we don't know God's word, we don't have the truth to stand on, and it will be easier to deceive because we don't have the truth as a foundation. And so that's one reason that this year as a church, we've decided that we want to go through the New Testament this year together, so that we can be more grounded in his word and knowing what God has said and what God has said about his created order and how things work, so that when the enemy does come with his deceptions and lies, that we can discern and that we can have something to stand on. And so when we're tempted or when some of these issues come up, one of the things that we want to do, especially with this segment, is help have that paradigm where we can say, what is the enemy doing in this situation too? And not just, oh, this is right or wrong.
Yeah, just, you know, before we wrap up this segment, I felt like I wanted to share with the listeners too that in that the enemy being crafty, it's a lot of mostly truths. I would say partial truths, but actually I think it's a lot of times it's mostly truths. And it's only just being a little bit false that leads you to a bad place. And then the other thing I want our listeners to remember too is he plays to our emotions. And I don't remember where I read this, but it really impacted me. I read the statement that emotions are horrible, are good followers, but horrible leaders. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh, that's so true. Like when we're led by our emotions, we make a lot of poor choices. But it doesn't mean our emotions are bad. Like we need to acknowledge them, but they should be coming after the grounding and the foundation, or alongside that, and not be that we're making our decisions based on that. But I think in our society too, we're so based on emotions. How does it make you feel? everything's got to make you happy, this and that. And I think when we're overly emphasizing our emotions, the enemy has the advantage.
And so that's why, like I said, that's why we are really trying to make a push for discipleship and for reading the Bible so that we can make sure that we're grounded in truth, but then also in community with other people to help discern when some of these issues come up and what God's will could be in those situations. Because like we said, the enemy is crafty. And one of the things that he can also do is try to isolate us so that we have to make these decisions on our own and not be in community where other people can help spur us in the right direction too. And so, yeah, so that's our first time we've done Behind Enemy Lines. So let us know what you think about that. And maybe we'll be having more of these behind the scenes look at what the enemy could be doing to try to deceive us and try to push a certain agenda and push us in a direction that's away from God.
So, I mean, as we kind of wrap up this topic, how do you guys feel we should respond with grace? Like, what does that look like? How does that play out from not watering down the truth, yet still delivering truth in a way that draws people to Jesus?
To me, part of it comes back to what Brett had said earlier in terms of messy grace, is that God gives us permission to be in the tension. And right, because our society right now, well, tension is bad, right? It's like we want to be as comfortable as possible, so tension is bad. But God has given us permission to be in that tension. And so as we relate to people, we want to be in that tension, actually, because that's where we're having to discern what love is. And we're really having to do the work to build relationships with people to point them to Jesus. And it's really easy to say certain things when you're not in relationship with someone, right? And that's where, you know, we've heard things about like social media where people can go off on rants and hide behind their computer screen because they're not in relationship. But things are different when you're actually in relationship. And really, that's what I think that God wants for us, is he wants us to be in relationship with people and help walk with them and point them to Jesus. And so really, I think that's a good way for us to respond, is to really do the work to build relationships with people and then point them to Jesus.
Yeah, to add to that, I would also say, and I agree, is just the power of prayer. Oftentimes, even as believers, it's not our job to change or fix, nor do we have the power to do that, right? If we ever do come in contact with people that are walking in ways that aren't aligned with God or things that we don't believe, you know, when the Bible says to pray for our enemies, I don't think it's just people that you get mad at or that you can see as a, you know, physical enemy because they're trying to harm you, but even like ways that the enemy is speaking into somebody else's life or ways that it's not aligned with God. It's praying for those people too. And being able to have a heart that breaks for them, but not sacrificing your own belief in how you want to love them. Right. And I think for all of us, it's continuing to learn how to love people better and not love just in the worldly sense, but how God loves. And so that's an ongoing thing that I know I'm personally trying to grow in. And so just trying to utilize that in my relationships, like you said, Damon, with other people. And hopefully through that, God's going to use that, right? It's not just going to be me, but God through my prayers and how I interact with them will be the thing that sparks the change or that meets them where they're at. In whatever that may be. And it's difficult. It's definitely easier said than done. But as believers, I think we are supposed to be the ones that don't give up. Mm. We're supposed to be the ones that try, that go to the extreme lengths, right? That will leave the 99 for the one, right? And through all of that, if we're able to maintain that balance of tension and not sacrifice the things that we believe in and where God has placed us, then I think, we need to be out an outstretched arm. Mm-hmm. we need to be the ones that they actually feel the most heard by, that they feel like they can come to and have conversations about. And it's not just going to be a straight up argument or judgment, but be received with truth and grace. And so, I think going through messy grace and even just things of this world being more prevalent, it's really opened my eyes to a lot more in the ways that I feel like I need to be as a believer and how I'm called to be a leader and a warrior for God. And some of those battles aren't just like blatant, harmful enemies, but it's your neighbor. It's the ordinary person. And so, I definitely think that my heart has grown for that. And I hope that for all of us, it continues to grow so that we can step into more of those arenas and areas and be confident in God being there with us.
And to piggyback off that too a little bit, Brett, is I think we need to see people the way that God sees them, right? And so the only way that we can pray for our enemies is if we see them the way that God sees them, right? Mm. And there are still people. There are people that we disagree with, and there are people that might be going in directions that we don't want to see them going in. But they're still people, and God still sees them as people, and still God still loves them, and Jesus still came to die for them too. And so just because they're our enemy doesn't mean that we need to change and see them the way that our enemy wants us to see them, right? The devil wants us to be divided. And that kind of brings us up to, brings to mind one of the verses that we read in Matthew 12, which was, a house divided against itself cannot stand, right? And so the enemy wants us to be divided, especially as believers, because if we're divided as believers, we cannot stand against him, right? And so that's something that he wants us to do. So for us, an encouragement to us is we just want to see people the way that God sees them, and Jesus came for them too. So part of that is recognizing our own shortcomings so that we can recognize that and give grace to them too. But at the same time, pointing them back to the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, just in closing, is just knowing that we're all wired a little different, and we're going to approach these situations and people in these situations differently. And I'm a thinker. I'm definitely more on the truth side. So I have to wrestle with things that bring in the grace side. I have to, like, listening to podcasts of people like that woman we talked about earlier, it was like, oh my gosh, I can then think what would I say in that situation if that was my friend? And it helps me to kind of get to that place. But it takes purpose. It takes effort to do that. So I definitely thank my wife because she brings that balance to me. And I feel like, you know, she's definitely more on the grace side, but I've brought more of the truth aspect to her, and I've seen her wrestle and like bring that part out more. And so I think it's having people in our lives that are different, right? Like we don't all want to be just surrounded by truth people or thinkers. We need to have a blend. And I think for me, I used to see a lot of things as very black and white, and I just wanted things to be black and white. And then having to come to terms of things aren't always that way, even if that's the way I want to see them and I can picture them that way, that doesn't always play out that way. And so I think it's a journey, but it's not easy. Damon's over here laughing. I don't know what he's laughing at, but.
Well, we didn't really get into this topic, and we're kind of running long on time, but as you were talking, Kyle, especially with you and Mimo and your relationship, to me, I'm laughing because we didn't talk about gender roles at all. And I feel like what you're describing with you and Mimo is that as you guys come together, you're complementing each other to experience more of God's love, because you're bringing more truth and she's bringing more grace. And so you're having to live in that tension together. And so in that, you're experiencing more of what God's love looks like that you couldn't do apart. And right. And so that really points us back to God's created order, why Adam and Eve needed to come together, right? So that they could experience more of God's love that they couldn't experience apart. Right.
Wow, and that's even like a foreshadow of our next episode is going to be on marriage. And
yeah, I was going to say,
like, man, that was a sweet segue.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a nice tease for the next episode.
Yeah, so.
So I guess we have to ask Mimo for the next episode.
So you've heard it there. Next week we are talking about marriage and sexuality, which sometimes the sexuality part can get distorted with the gender part because they're so fluid and they're entangled. Mm-hmm. And so you might be hearing a little bit more about gender next week as well, but we will be diving into that. What is God's created and called version of or picture of marriage and sexuality? And that's what we're going to be talking about next week. So until then, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and encourage you to subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify so that you don't miss any new content. You can also check out our sister podcast, Catalyst Stories, available on multiple platforms as well. We would also love for you to check out our church. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach.